no secret. I told you before. I'll tell you again. My favorite service is Sunday night. I mean, maybe it just takes me all day to wake up. I don't know. But I'll tell you, I just love the Sunday night crowd. Something special about coming to church on Sunday night, you know. Maybe it touches my heart because, you see, I was saved in a Sunday night service. And I guess maybe it just stays in my heart. Thank God, how many churches in your community tonight? Dark. The doors are locked. Closed up. Don't need God till next Sunday morning. But thank God there's a light here tonight. A light that shines in the darkness. And thank God for a people that will give God the glory due unto His name. And to come and worship Him on a Sunday night service. Anybody go to church Sunday morning? Most folks do. But Sunday night, that's a little special. And I trust God to give you a blessed Monday because of it. I just want to take a moment and thank you all for your kindness. And you know, folks, I get in a lot of different churches. I meet a lot of different preachers. I see a lot of different church folks. And they're not fundamental in the independent Baptist circle. Those folks are friendly and they're nice. And I enjoy the fellowship we have with them. But folks, let me just say this, that there is a sweet spirit here among you. And God, don't take that for granted, folks. Sometimes you don't see it because you're in the middle of it. Did anybody ever tell you, you know, when your kids are going up, oh, your kids are so well behaved, and you said they are. You know, you don't see it, but other people see it sometimes, you know what I mean? And it's kind of like that way sometimes. We miss seeing what God has done for you here. And my heart has been especially blessed. I want to thank you for those that have prayed for me. We have some prayer cards back there if you want to take one. You don't have to take one, but if you take one, just use it. Don't throw it away, but take one if you want to. Put up on your refrigerator. It's a bookmarker. Put it in the book. Remember to pray for me because I know God answers prayer. A few weeks ago, my wife and I were preaching revival in Brooklyn, Connecticut. You say Brooklyn, everybody, oh, there's only one Brooklyn, that's New York. No, we have a Brooklyn, Connecticut. It's a little itty-bitty town. It says Brooklyn on both sides of the sign, you know. I mean, just a little town. And we're going down. We just gotten off the interstate, four-lane highway, 18-wheelers cars, zipping back and forth, 65 miles an hour. We'd gotten off the interstate, got off at the exit, and going down a little side road, not a city street, but a country road. And we were down there maybe about a mile, mile and a half, and all of a sudden, the front tire on the passenger side of my car come off of my car. I mean, the whole thing come off. The whole wheel. It come off, and it's rolling down the road without my car. I was getting good gas mileage on that one. And it just kept, and of course, the car went down, and my rotor was scraping on the pavement, sparks shooting out the side, you know. I was going maybe about, I imagine about 50 miles an hour at the time. And I never lost control of the car, had absolute control of the car. God had set it up. There was nobody behind me. And that tire just went straight down the road, about a quarter of a mile. It just kept on going straight down the road. I mean, it didn't go across to the other lane or anything like that. It just went straight right along the shoulder of the road, hit a rock, and then went about 10 feet in the woods. We were able to pull over to the side safely. Nobody was hurt there. But my bumper was sitting on the ground, you know. But I know that God was watching over us. God was taking, and I believe it's the prayers of people like you that some are like, say, well, I wasn't praying then. You know, you don't have to pray at the moment the need is there. If you ever prayed for me at all, God just said, I'm going to save that for this date. You're going to need it this date over here. And God applied it on that date. So it always pays to pray. And I want to thank you for your love, your support, your goodness, and all that you have done for me. You know, we serve a mighty God, don't we? We serve a mighty God, don't we? We sure do. You ever get a song in your heart, in your head, and you can't get it out? You know what I mean? I got one like that tonight. And if I don't get it out, something's going to break. And Mrs. Susie, would you come to the piano, please? I got to get a little liberty here tonight, preacher. We're not going to do anything embarrassing. And I'm certainly not going to sing to you. How many, have you ever, Anybody here ever heard that little song, What a Mighty God We Serve? Anybody? Oh, you know, that's going in my head, you know. And if I don't get out, I'm going to drive her crazy going home. And so tonight, I want us to sing that. Would you sing that with me? What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore him. Heaven. Okay, you know the words. You know them when you sing them, but you can't say them. Okay, let's sing it together. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore him. Help me out with those words. What a mighty God. Heaven and earth adore, and angels bow before him. Is that what it is? We're going. Let's do it again, okay? And let's maybe Brother Souza get it right, okay? Heaven and earth adore him. Angels bow before him, okay? Boy, I'm having a senior moment, and I'm not even old enough. No, okay. All right, let's sing it together. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore him before him. What a mighty God we serve. And we certainly do. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. The book of the Revelation. Chapter number 1, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know my Bible says of St. John the Divine, but man put that part in there. But the first verse is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's not revealing anything about John, but it is revealing a lot of things about Jesus. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Aren't you glad we serve an Almighty God tonight? There is nothing beyond the hope, the scope, and the power of Almighty God tonight. And men and women are always in trouble with God because they don't believe in their heart that God is Almighty and can do anything He wants to do. I know we believe it up here, but do we live like we serve an Almighty God? What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Yes, heaven and earth adore Him. Angels bow before Him. What a mighty God we serve tonight. We could look all through scriptures and we could see what God did when God's people needed deliverance through the Red Sea. God opened it up. That's an Almighty God. When they were out in the wilderness for 40 years and their clothes did not wear out and their shoes did not wear out and God provided food for them day by day. What an Almighty God we serve tonight. And I want to preach tonight on the awesome power of the Almighty God tonight. That when we leave here tonight, we can say, I serve an Almighty God. There is nothing above the might and the power of our God tonight. What can God do for you? First of all, God is big enough and strong enough and mighty enough to fight my battles for me. You have any battles in your life tonight? You have any struggles in your life tonight? You got a God that can fight your battles for you. If you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Oh, you're familiar with this account, I'm sure. 1 Samuel in the 17th chapter, as soon as you lay your eyes upon this passage, you will know exactly what it has to do. It has to do with the Philistines army, and it has to do with the giant of the Philistines here, and has to do with David meeting that giant there. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and David comes before this great giant of a man that was big, a man that was brawny, a man that was strong, and David challenges him in the name of the Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a little skinny, scrawny, scubby little old shepherd boy facing this mighty warrior, maybe 9 feet tall, according to the measure of Scripture. Can you imagine being 9 feet tall? I mean, a basketball hoop is what, 10 feet? Can you imagine being 9 feet? I mean, the NBA would love him. I mean, can you imagine him standing there as, okay, God, give me the ball. You know, to get the ball. And who's going to get a guy hold it up that high above the rim? You know, I don't even think Michael Jordan can jump that high. And he can go out and drop the ball. I mean, he was not only tall, but he was strong and mighty. And David saw him mouthing off are against the God of Israel? And David said, well, somebody go shut him up. And he says, yeah, big man, you got big talk. You go do it. He says, I will. And you read your Bible, and he went down to the brook, and he picked up 5 smooth stones. Remember that? And he put them in his pocket with his slingshot, going off singing victory in Jesus, going to go meet Goliath. And he meets Goliath, and Goliath laughs at him. And Goliath laughs at him. And in verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. I can just put, come on. Come on, little man. Come to me. Come to me, he says, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of your. Come on. Come on. Come to me. Come on. And oh, David, I mean, I know what it's like to be intimidated. I mean, I can be intimidated easy, you know. I realized a long time ago God made just so many perfect people and the rest he made tall. I realized that, you know. I will say I may be down here, I may be sweet and low, but in heaven I'm going to be equal. But anyhow, David is facing this giant. And notice what David says to him in verse 45. And David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. Now remember, David had nothing but a little slingshot. That's all he had. He didn't have a shield, didn't have a sword, didn't have any armor. He had absolutely nothing facing the battle of his life with this giant called Goliath. And he said, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled, and this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Oh, David reached in his pocket. Now, I know the song goes, put one little stone and slinging around and around and around. No, yeah, he put that stone in the thing and he let that thing go. And under the direction of the Holy Ghost of God, that old stone went flying through the air, hit Goliath in the forehead, knocked Goliath down. And David had the victory that day. Can you imagine as he stands before Goliath? Can you imagine as he stood before the battle of his life and says, God, this is too big for me. But it's not too big for you. God, this man's too strong for me, but he's not too strong for you. And he says, yeah, he's got armor, he's got a helmet, he's got a shield, he's got a sword. He said, but I have God on my side, and you and God make a majority today. But the power of the Lord up on him. And David slew the giant that day, and I could imagine as that giant went tumbling to the ground, we could hear old David say that day. David, the giant went down, and you could hear David sing, what am I with God? What am I with God? What a mighty God we serve. And David knew that right was might. And he knew that when God is on your side, you cannot fail. Folks, tonight, some of you are facing the battle. I know you are. I haven't met anybody in life that hadn't had a struggle going on. And if you don't have a struggle going on, hang on. Tomorrow's coming. Tomorrow's coming. There'll be something you're going to face, and you're going to say, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what I'm going to do. Why don't you do what David did, and in the name of the Lord, give it to Jesus to fight your battles for you. Listen, there are some battles I can't fight. There are some conflicts that are too much for me. And that's why Jesus said, give them to me. Let me take care of them. If he can defeat the devil, and he did yonder there in the wilderness, don't you think he can still do it today? And if he can knock down the devil's power then and during a time of temptation, don't you think he can do it today for you and for me? God is the Almighty God. He's big enough to fight my battles for me. I can't do God's work. I can only do the work that God wants me to do. There are some things that God has to do, and one of them is fight my battles for me. He is the Almighty God. But I want you to notice something else. He's also the Almighty God that is able to calm our fears. You turn your Bible to the book of Daniel, chapter number 6, if you will. The prophet Daniel and the 6th chapter, you know the decree here. God said, the king said that nobody was to pray to anybody except him, according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, that could not be altered. But Daniel said, I'm going to pray. Daniel said, I'm going to pray to God. And they're going to tell me I can't pray. Listen, the fact that the government tells you you can't pray is nothing new. We think it's, you can't pray in school, and you can't pray in here, and you can't. Listen, as long as there are exams, there will be prayer in school. There will be prayer in school. You know? And they said, nobody prays but to me. Daniel said, I got a God I serve, and I don't take my orders from the government. I take my orders from him there. And Daniel was a man of character, and Daniel was a man of integrity, and Daniel was a man of prayer, and he prayed there. But he was found out, and when he was found out, he was brought before the king in verse 13. And Daniel, then was Daniel brought before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which out of the children of captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Judah? And then he said, I heard thee in the spirit of God's in thee, and that light and understandeth and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And the king acknowledged, that was chapter 5. And the king acknowledged all of this about the character of Daniel. But in chapter number 6, the king didn't care about that. In chapter number 6, the king was lost and angry and the fact that Daniel disobeyed him. And in Daniel chapter 6, as he was found out, and the Bible tells us that they took Daniel and they put him into a den of lions. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something tonight, and I'm not boasting or anything of that nature, but I have no fear of a lion's den. I mean that, really. I have no fear. You could put me in a lion's den tonight, I wouldn't care. I could live in a lion's den. I could sleep in a lion's den. I don't care as long as there were no lions in it. But the Bible doesn't say it was Daniel in the lion's den. The Bible said he was in a den of lions. Now, there's a big difference on that one, you know. And you could imagine these beasts were ferocious and hungry, and they opened up that door, and Daniel was cast in and the king sealed it up there. Daniel was put in because he would not bow the knee to the government that says, I cannot pray. I will pray, even if it gets me into a den of lions. And the Bible says in verse number 18, and the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Can you imagine? It was the king that couldn't sleep that night. It was the wicked. What does the Bible say? The wicked are like the sea tossed to and fro. There is no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. Christian or not, listen, you have some fears that are keeping you awake at night. You put your head on that pillow and say, oh, yeah, I can't go to sleep. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. And fear is keeping you from the rest that God wants you to have tonight. I can understand all of that tonight. But listen, faith and fear cannot live in the same heart tonight. And the king was the one that couldn't sleep. You ought to be able to go home tonight, put your faith, your confidence in the Almighty God that we serve tonight, and go home and sleep like a Christian. I used to say sleep like a baby, then we had 4 of them. And I realized wake up every 3 hours crying, you know. And the king couldn't sleep. And I don't want to listen to music. I don't even want to eat. And he was restless all night long. Folks, if you're restless at night and you can't have peace in your heart when you go to bed and committing the things into the hand of God tonight, what good is your faith in God doing you tonight? He's able to calm your fears tonight. And the king couldn't sleep in verse number 19. And the king arose very early in the morning, and he went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Why? Because Daniel was able to say,
what my God is worth, what my God is worth. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him.
what a mighty God we serve. And old Daniel said, my God, the God that I pray to, the God that I serve, my God has sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. Oh, I'll tell you something, folks. I could picture it that night, Daniel thrown into that den of lions, and old lion said, snack time. And old lion going up to him, you know, and all of a sudden the lion goes, Oh, Daniel says, leave me alone. I'm tired. I'm going to go to rest. And God calmed his fears that night. God shut the mouth of the lion. Why is there so much unrest in our heart? Why is there so much unrest in our homes? Why is there so much uneasiness even in our churches and in our ministry? Why is America in despair tonight? Because they don't know the peace that only God can give. They don't know the peace that God can provide in the midst of the storm. Now, folks, I'm not saying I always have this. I wish I did. But it's something that I know I should have, and I want to be reminded of it and seek it and obtain it in my life in my time of need. Don't you have a Savior tonight that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest tonight. You say, I'm so tired, preacher. I worry about this. I worry about that. Why don't you let God calm your fears tonight? Jesus is in the garden. He prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he didn't stop his prayer there. He went on and he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine. And I think a peace came in his heart. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'll go through what my Heavenly Father wants me to go through. And folks, tonight, in a time of our despair, in a time of our hardship, if you would pray a prayer like that and mean it from your heart, God, deliver me from this. But God, your will be done. I'm going to have a peace that you're going to guide me, and I'm going to be in your will, and you will accomplish your plan and your purpose in my life. You see, that's why David was able to write the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he goes through there and he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Thou art with me. And do you realize, folks, God doesn't walk out on you in a time of trouble. Do you realize that? We walk away from God and we turn from God to our troubles and our trials. But God doesn't turn from you. God is still there. And he wants to bring you through that dark valley tonight. Because he's the God that can calm our fears, you know. And there's something else here tonight. You know, in Mark chapter number 5, if you will, tonight, we find that God is big enough to solve our problems tonight. In the Gospel of Mark, in the 5th chapter tonight, we find someone in a great need and a great burden in their life had a great problem. You ever have a problem that you couldn't handle? You have a problem that was too big for you? There's none for God. In Mark chapter number 5, and in verse number 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter, lieth at the point of death. I pray thee come, lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed. She should live. Have you ever had somebody sick you prayed over? Mamas, have you ever held that little baby in your arm burning up with fever? You know how you felt. You did everything you could to give baby aspirin, alcohol baths, or whatever to help break that fever. And don't you wish you could just put your hand on that little child and somehow transfer some of that to you, that that child may have a rest? Here was a man, he had a little girl. A little girl, later on we're going to find out that she was 12 years of age. Just a young lady. And she was sick. She was dying. There was no hope for her. And I can imagine his wife and his wife having discussion. Honey, what are we going to do? He says, I don't know. We can't do anything. He says, hey, wait a minute. You know what, honey? I heard that a fellow named Jesus, I heard that he could make the blind to see. I heard he make the lame to walk. I heard he make the dumb to speak and even the deaf to hear. And honey, I'm going to go find him. And I'm going to beg him and plead him. And I'm going to ask him to come that he'll touch our little girl and make her well. Says, honey, please hurry. Please hurry. And I can imagine him going into his little daughter. Said, Daddy's going to be back, sweetheart. I'm going to bring someone's going to help you. You're going to be okay. You just be okay. You just be okay. Hang on, little one. Hang on, sweetheart. And he goes off to find Jesus. And all the time he's thinking about a little girl at home and thinking about his mama, his wife, and her mama sitting by her looking for Jesus. And in our text, he finds him. And he says, in verse 20, he besought him greatly. I mean, he didn't say, oh, Lord, if you're not busy and you don't have time, would you come? Oh, I mean, he begged. He must have pleaded. He must have said, God, I'm in despair. Jesus, I need your help. Would you come? Jesus said, okay. And in verse 24, Jesus goes with him, and I can imagine, honey, you're going to be okay. Honey, Jesus is coming. Honey, hang on, sweetheart. Jesus is coming. Can you imagine the joy that filled his heart in anticipation of what God would do? And they start on their way. And in verse 25, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Remember, 12 years she'd had this affliction for a 12-year-old child. Had this affliction and had suffered many things and many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Sounds like national health care to me. And she says, I went to all the doctors. I spent all my money and I'm no better. Not only am I not any better, but I'm worse. And she had an affliction too. And the Bible said that when she heard of Jesus in verse 27, came in the press behind him and touched his garments. Imagine the faith that she had. For she said in verse 28, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be healed. Now that's great faith. Jairus said, I want you to come to my daughter's house. She said, you don't do anything, just let me touch you. And she reaches out and she touched him. And in verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? Now, can you imagine how Jairus felt? Lord, my daughter, remember? You'd ask her, who touched her? Can we talk about this later? I mean, she's dying. And he looks around. The disciples in verse 31 said, Lord, everybody's touching you. And the disciples said to him, thou seest the multitudes thronging me. And says, down, who touched? No. Somebody touched me in faith. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God knows when you just pray words and when you reach out by faith. God knows when you just touch him casually and when you lay hold of him tonight. And she said, no, somebody touched me by faith. And he said, and he looked about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling on what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. It's always good to tell God the truth, by the way. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and behold of that. Now, I didn't think Jairus, Lord, look, this woman's been sick for 12 years. A few more hours, I'm going to make that much difference. Do you ever feel like God put you on hold? Do you ever feel like you pray to God and God says, yeah, just wait, I'll get to it? Do you ever get impatient with God? Do you ever get mad at God? And you figure, well, God, you answered everybody else's prayer. What about mine? And we have a testimony. God answered my prayer for a job. And God answered my prayer for work. And God answered my prayer for healing. And God answered my prayer. And you say, Lord, hello, what about me? And while you're busy doing everything, and I can imagine, John said, come on, Lord, we've got to get going. She's dying. This woman had 12 years of this. My daughter don't have maybe 12 hours. I think God was too slow in answering your prayers. But then notice what happened. And when he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? everything God let you down? Can you imagine Jairus feeling, he's going to come. He's going to come to tremendous. Then he gets busy doing something else. And he said, Lord, you said you'd come and heal her. And not only is she not sick, but now she's dead. You ever have a problem that went from bad to worse? You prayed for God to deliver you. Not only did he not deliver you, the problem got worse. But Jesus knew about that, because the next verse says here, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Oh yeah, Lord, sure, only believe, don't be afraid. My daughter died. You let me down. I prayed and it got worse. There's a lot of folks tonight that are mad at God. There's a lot of folks tonight that are saying, I pray to God for something. God not only did answer my prayer, but it got even worse. And they're mad at the Lord tonight. And maybe there might be some among us tonight. And just said, I'm mad at God. He let me down. That must have been how Jairus felt. But the Lord says, be afraid. Only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James, verse 37. And they come into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and see in the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. The funeral already began. The wailing, as tradition back then, the crying, the mourning, maybe black was already draped over the doorway. The wailers were there, as was their custom and ways of doing things. And Jesus says in verse 39, when he came in, he saith unto them, why make this to do and weep? I said, what are you doing about all of this? She's not dead, she's sleeping. You see, to God, nothing's permanent. We say death is final. Not to God. This is the thing is the power of the resurrection. If God can give life, God can put it back into a dead body. And they laughed at him, just like some people laugh today. Yeah, right, preacher. You laugh at God all you want to, but he's still the mighty God we serve. And they laughed him to scorn. He put him out, took the girl by the hand, said they were saying to thee, arise. And the Bible says in verse 40, 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12. Now how do you think, O Jairus, thou? Now how do you think, as his faith now became sight, and you can hear O Jairus sing? What am I? Before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What kind of God you serving tonight? What kind of God you have your faith in? If you got your God in the dead Jesus hanging on a cross, or you got your God of some figment of imagination, some God somewhere out there, then you don't know the God of the Bible, the Almighty God. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And because Jesus has life, he is able to impart it unto others. I'm going to tell you something tonight. God's delay is not God's denial tonight. I mean, he might have delayed with Jairus, but he didn't deny him. Matter of fact, he did something even greater, didn't he? Brought her back from the dead. What a greater testimony. That's even greater than healing tonight. He brought her back from the dead. You see, folks, tonight there's no problem God cannot handle. He can fight your battles. He can calm your fears. He can solve your problems tonight. And then in Luke chapter 22, we'll just close with this tonight. Preacher said this morning I had to 12:15. I had closed 3 minutes early. And we started 2 minutes early tonight. That gives me 5 minutes extra. Luke chapter number 22. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, that is Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I have prayed for thee. Can you imagine having a prayer partner called Jesus? But you know, that's what he's doing today in heaven. You see, one of the, if I could use this word respectfully, jobs of Jesus is that of intercessor. See, there is one God, just say, and one intercessor, one mediator between God and man. That's Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, Peter, I'm praying for you. How can you lose when you have Jesus praying for you? How can you fail? Now, I appreciate the prayers of you folks. I really do. I need them. I covet them. I beg you to keep them flowing before the throne of heaven. But beyond all of that, I'm thankful tonight Jesus prays for me. He prayed for Peter. He said, the devil wants you. Don't you think the devil wants you today? Don't you think the devil wants this church today? Don't you think the devil doesn't want you to have your faith promise missions today, next Sunday, and to give for the calls on missions at home and around the world today? I know what God can do in faith promise missions. I preached a missions conference out in Ohio just a few weeks ago, out in Goshen, Ohio, at the Gazzardo Baptist Temple. And we had several missionary families there and everything, the missionaries that they were going to support and take on and give report in the field and all. And I was preaching faith promise missions, how God promises to honor your faith in a matter of faith promise mission. And by the way, if you give little, that's the indication of your faith. If you give greatly, that's an indication of your faith and your trust in God. But you know, I was preaching and I closed the service. And again, it wasn't a service of evangelism. It was a service about money. It was a service about giving. It's God's principle and plan. In the Bible, faith promise was not invented by man. It was discovered by the reading of the Word of God. It's a God's plan for missions. But that's another story. You'll get that for next week, I'm sure. But listen, that night I gave the invitation. An 18-year-old girl comes down on the altar weeping and crying. She was one of the daughters of one of the missionaries. The missionary girl. The family sang that night, first part of the service. She played the piano for the family singing, but she wasn't saved. That night, God reached down from heaven. And that night, she swallowed her stubborn pride, and she says, I need to get saved. And God saved her. And God did something. The devil would have delighted for her to go on in her pride, saying, well, maybe I'll get saved, but I'm not going to tell anybody. Listen, when you get it, you got it, and you want others to know about it. No such thing as a quiet salvation as far as God's concerned. You get it, and it's a testimony in your life. Her dad would come up to me after service. He was so excited. He was so good. He said, my daughter got saved tonight. My daughter got saved. He was a big guy, man, and he's picking me up, and he's throwing me around and bouncing me around, you know. Oh, I go, whoa, I'm glad you're happy, but let me down, you know. And the devil hates missions in the church. And the devil hates the generosity of God's people. But you know something, folks? If you'll give, God will give you. You ever stop to think? You never give anything to God, but He didn't give to you first. He said, I want a tithe. Yeah, but He gives you an income. The tithe, to get it from. He doesn't ask for a tithe with no income. You see? Everything God asked from you, He gave to you first. You don't have anything that God didn't give you. Oh, you might think, I earned it. I worked it. Who gave you the strength, the breath to get up in the morning to go to work? The same one that could take it away from you in an instant and the skip beat of your heart. You don't have any, I'm going to say a little bit on faith promise here, but I guess you don't have anything that God didn't give you first. Faith promise is only acknowledging, God, you own all that I have. That's what faith promise is. And I want to give you what is yours tonight. But you see, the devil hates that. And he hates the generosity of God's people. Tonight, the forgiveness of this church, the tenderness of the man that you call pastor tonight. I have on what I have on tonight. I don't know if pastor remembers this or not. I'm sure he gets so generous to so many people. But I was here for that first revival. Took me out. suit I have on tonight. You got for me? Tie, the shirt. But these are genuine ostrich boots. Folks, these are $800 boots. And no, I didn't buy that. I was preaching to church, huh? West Texas. Took me 3 nights of preaching to convince them a Yankee can preach. You know, a Texan, nobody, only a Texan can preach, you know. So in the church, I know somehow he didn't like me. You can believe that. We just didn't click for some reason. But his son got saved that night. And so he kind of was a little nicer to me. The next night, his other son got saved. He got a little warmer to me. The third night, his daughter got saved. Now we're becoming friends. He come to me that fourth night, and he says, "What size boot do you wear?" I said, "I don't know, about that size right there." The next night, he brings these in and gave them to me. $800 ostrich boots. Hey, God's good. You give to God what's His. God will take care of you. And they're so soft and so comfortable. The biggest problem I have is if I walked across sand, I got this irresistible urge to put my head down. But folks, you just cannot outgive God. And the devil hates you because you want to do something to get other people saved. You say, "Preacher, we got things to be done around here. We need to change this, and we need to pay for this, and we got heat bills, and we have..." I know that, and God knows that tonight. But don't you serve a mighty God tonight? Don't you think He can put oil in the tank or gas, whatever it is you heat with, and God can take care of you tonight? You do God's work, God will take care of you for your work and for your life. Jesus said, "Peter, I prayed for you." Don't you think Jesus is praying for this church? Don't you think? And when I say the church, I don't mean this. I don't mean this here. Or this. You're the church. You're the church. That's who Jesus prays for. He's not praying for the pews. He's not praying for the carpet. He's praying for you tonight. And Peter said in verse 33, he said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both in the prison and to death." You got to love Peter, don't you? I mean, he's ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. I mean, he says, "That's it, Lord. You pray for me, and I'll go to prison. I'll go to jail. I'll even die for you." Oh, loud mouth. Have you ever boasted something to God? And God put you to the test? That's what happened to Peter, right? And Jesus said, "Wait a minute, Peter. You got a big mouth on you, and I appreciate your zeal. So stop and think of what you're saying." He said, "Before that old rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Not me, Lord. These others, you can't depend on them, but you can depend on me." Yeah. But Peter was human and fleshy just like we are. And he failed. And he failed. And in verse number 61, after Peter denied the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. He got the look. You know what it is? You know the look? Sometimes I'll say something dumb from the pulpit, and I'll get the look. Have you ever seen your children disobey, and you give them the look? You know what I mean? Just the look. He looked, and Peter saw the face of Jesus. And Peter remembered in verse 61 the word of the Lord. When Jesus said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice," and he went out. He wept bitterly. Folks, if something's going to grip our hearts tonight, we're going to learn to weep before God over our failures. People learn to weep before God that we have sinned and we have done wrong, and the things we boasted of, we couldn't keep. Wept. He just didn't weep. I know it'll change this church. Now, this is not a revival service, but it could turn into a revival in this church tonight. that this carpet gets stained with the tears of God's people tonight. God, I failed. You don't have to tell church folks what about. God knows about it. But Peter wasn't always weeping. He went from weeper to preacher on the day of Pentecost. He got over it. And the power of God came upon him. Why? Because, you see, God is big enough to dry our tears. And that day when the power of the Holy Ghost fell, you can hear Peter. You can hear Peter. You can hear Peter sing together. You can hear Peter sing. What am I to serve? Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, I can go on tonight, but you see, God is big enough to pick you up when you stumble and fall. God doesn't kick you when you're down. But he puts down his hand and he says, come on. Come on. Get back up again. I got a lot more to say now. I'm not going to say that. Thomas, I think it was sufficient tonight. Jesus said, I am the Almighty God tonight. And I don't know about you tonight, but as we bring this service to a close, I need to spend some time reminding my heart before God, I serve an Almighty God tonight. And maybe tonight you have some battles. Do you? Why don't you bring them to an altar tonight? Is it preach? I feel uncomfortable. Why? God's offering, inviting you to come. You're in church. We're not in the bowling alley. We're not in a restaurant. We're in church. We can't respond to the touch of God in church. Something's wrong somewhere. Why don't you come to an altar tonight and say, God, I've got some battles. I can't fight. Fight them for me. I've got some giants I'm facing, Lord. You're going to have to slay them. Maybe you have some fears tonight. You can't rest. You can't sleep. Why don't you bring them before God? The Bible says he giveth his beloved sleep. Beloved, rest. And go home tonight. Put your head on the pillow. Say, God, it's in your hands. Yes, he's able to solve your problems. He's able to dry your tears. And he is the Almighty God tonight. Would you stand with me, please? There is nothing God can't do, include saving your soul tonight. If you do not have the assurance of salvation tonight, would you lay hold on eternal life of Jesus Christ tonight? And tonight, give your heart, give your life, give your sins to God.